In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, St. John Hughes finds in the divine attributes of felicity, that is, intense supernatural happiness and glory, he finds these two in the heart of the Blessed Mother, and he finds them there in a certain sense as they are in God himself. We must remember that it is characteristic of love, and more especially of divine love, to transform the lover into the object of his love, as fire changes iron into fire, leaving it its nature and essence of iron, but endowing it with the qualities and perfections of fire. Now it is quite certain that there never was and never shall be a love equal to that which inflamed Mary's virginal heart. And we cannot doubt that divine love so completely transformed her, even while she remained on earth, that she had one mind, one heart, one will, and one love with God himself. She loved only what he loves. She hated nothing but what he hates, namely, sin. She had no interests save his, no glory or honor, no contentment or happiness, but God's. Thus did the glory and felicity of God ever abide in her heart. But the question remains, didn't all the trials and sorrows she suffered here below, especially at the time of her son's passion, deprive her of this glory and joy? No, they increased it. The Holy Ghost, speaking of the passion of the Son of God, calls it the day of his heart's rejoicing, the day of the joy of his heart. Speaking of his passion, the Lord calls it his Father's glory and his own. Thus, St. Ambrose, St. Hilary, St. Augustine, and the other doctors explain the words spoken by our Savior on the eve of his death. Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. The passion of the Son of God represents, in fact, the greatest glory of God, for it most abundantly repaired the injury done to God by all the sins of the world, and glorify the Creator in a manner worthy of his infinite grandeur. When the Church sings in the Gloria, we give thee thanks for thy great glory, she thanks God for the passion of his divine Son, as well as for his own essential glory. We know that the Mother of our Lord had no sentiments other than those of her Son. She realized that nothing in the world can give greater glory and honor to God than sufferings and humiliations endured for the sake of his love. Thus, just as her Son calls his most bitter passion his glory and joy, so did she find her greatest glory and most perfect joy in supreme humiliation and the most poignant sorrows, for her honor and happiness consisted in the things which give the greatest honor to God and please him the most. We should not believe, however, that this contentment of hers prevented her from suffering, not in the least. For it is certain that no one on earth, after her beloved Son, suffered as much as she. But Christ's joys and sorrows were joined together in such fashion that the joys possessing the superior part of the soul did not destroy the sorrows that ruled the inferior part. So when our Blessed Mother endured the pain of his crucifixion and revilement with her Son, the bitter anguish and inconceivable torments she endured in her senses and the inferior part of her soul did not prevent her from enjoying at the same time a profound peace and unutterable contentment, for she knew that such was God's will and his good pleasure. Thus did the glory and felicity of the Most High dwell in the heart of our Blessed Mother while she was on earth. But in heaven, her incomparable heart is so completely lost and absorbed in the infinite glory and boundless joy of the divinity that this divine joy and immortal glory transform it entirely and fill it with greater glory and happiness than the hearts of all the angels and saints put together. Now, St. John Hughes goes so far as to say that if our hearts were possessed of all the same gifts as those of the Blessed Virgin, we should want to strip them and give them back to her. He declares that he would sooner be annihilated forever than see the heart of our Blessed Mother lose any of the treasures with which the divine goodness is so profusely adorned it. Again, though, these treasures were the fruits of Our Lady's willing acceptance of suffering, the greatest suffering any human being will ever know. And in the sufferings which may come to us in this approaching Lenten season, and indeed throughout all our lives, let us ever cherish this treasured participation in his passion and submit to it in all humility. For in the measure in which we do so, we are also glorified with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.